Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This is Dynasty Portfolio Weekly, hosted by Scott Connor.
Welcome back onto the trading floor for another episode of Dynasty Portfolio Weekly. And last week, I covered portfolio buys that I'm trying to add before we get to the NFL draft and some ways that we can do that. And this week, it's going to be the opposite, portfolio sells and some creative ways to do so over the next month or so before we get to rookie draft time. As always, check out everything at Destination Devi, destinationdevi.com, for all of the tools and bonus features, along with the extra podcast that you can find on the Patreon, patreon.com/allgas, or if you sign up on the website for the Destination 5 tier. So check out all of that, along with all the work on the podcast feed, Destination Devi Radio, and then everything else here on the YouTube channel. Please like and subscribe if you like the content. So I'm going to go through four trades today, and we're going to talk about ways that I've identified to move some pieces in my portfolio that I think are going to be difficult to move by themselves. So we're going to start with this deal you see on the screen. This is a 12-team Superflex start 12, and it is a point per carry league. So keep that in mind when you see who I ended up acquiring. This was a deal with my old friend Eric Vanek. It took us a little while to hash this out, and understanding that in this league, a guy like Kirk Cousins is probably one that was tough to move. I have a lot of Kirk Cousins exposure, and he's not a super favorable to quarterback to have in this format. This is also a team where I am robust at quarterback. I also have Trevor Lawrence, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, and I had Kirk Cousins. So I'm trying to find creative ways to A, move Kirk Cousins, and then B, at the same time, if you tuned into last week's show, to acquire Justin Fields. Now, most people would say Kirk Cousins is a higher tier or a higher value than somebody like Justin Fields. One is a starter, one is not. But I'm leaning into the fact that A, I wanted to buy Fields based on last week's discussion. B, the format favors somebody like Fields big time here. If he starts, I think I have a much better shot of getting difference-making production than Fields, or with Fields, than I would with Cousins. And C, Cousins is a guy that really doesn't have a market. I've tried shopping him. No way I'm getting a first. I've tried getting first 2 years out. I've tried adding a future second to get a first. No dice. Unable to move Cousins. So this was the creative deal. Sometimes you have to give to get back. And so I tried to get Fields. I was trying to work in a deal where I can give up something of value and still get back Fields without really paying a first round pick value. Now, you would say Cousins is probably not worth a first, but he may be more valuable than Fields, until you go through the fact that I'm A, not going to need him, B, the format heavily favors Fields, C, the market already isn't favorable to Cousins, and D, I'm getting back two other upgrades, in my opinion, with Alvin Kamara over Aaron Jones. I also get back the 110 and I give back the 111. So they're just small upgrades. Is there a world where Aaron Jones outperforms Alvin Kamara? Yes. Is there a world where the pick at the 111 is just the same or the same tier as the 110? Yes. But this is what I had to give up. And part of it is Eric needed a quarterback coming back. He needed a second QB. I know he's a savvy manager. He was already looking at, all right, I have an elite QB, but I don't have any other starters. So I'm going to stash all of the high upside backups, which he has. So for him to move Fields with his roster build, he needed to get a quarterback back in the form of somebody that actually had a job. So this is the deal we settled on. But the takeaway here is a guy like Cousins, he's QB 21. Now, is he in a large tier with a bunch of other QBs? Tua, Jared Goff, Bryce Young, Baker Mayfield, Deshaun Watson, Will Levis, Matthew Stafford. They're probably all in a range where there's not going to be a ton of preference between the players in that range. So going and trying to standalone sell somebody like Cousins for the pick equivalent, it's going to be very difficult. So when you run into that, until you have a buyer for that one specific asset, you probably have to find a way to work it into a deal where you get what you want. You also get a couple of other grid upgrades. So that's what I ended up doing in this trade, moving Cousins for Fields and getting the pick swap and the running back swap. So the next one, another player that I wanted to shed some shares of in my portfolio was Zay Flowers, my highest rostered receiver, at least it was last week until I made this deal. Now I have a couple others that are a little bit higher than him. But I was able to move Zay Flowers in a deal where, again, I had to kind of hide some value in the deal, moving away Zay Flowers, looking to keep my roster construction and pivot to another receiver that I have way less exposure on, Nico Collins. Now, would Nico Collins have been a guy I could have got for Zay Flowers prior to the Stephon Diggs deal? Probably not. Probably would have had to add a piece to it. But here, I'm able to keep my roster construction in a way where I move Flowers for Nico Collins. I would prefer Collins to Flowers, but if you said you had it the other way around, that would be fine. But the savvy thing is here, I had a couple extra running backs. This is a team where I had a bunch of running backs like Zach Moss, Devin Singletary, Zamir White, Chuba Hubbard. I really kind of threaded the needle well in free agency at running back. So I look at a guy like David Montgomery and I say, okay, is he worth more than a 26 second? Yes. But I also was having trouble selling Montgomery for a better second. Meaning I've been spamming Montgomery, trying to get a early to mid second this year. No dice. Trying to get a 25 second. Nobody was really biting. And I had put all those running backs on the block. Singletary, Moss, Hubbard. Like I tried to move them all for something because I don't want to carry that much liquidation value in the form of running back. I'd rather liquidate for future picks. So I had to get creative here. So I send Flowers for Collins, and I think it's closer, even though I would prefer Collins. But the key was I had to go now and exploit the fact that somebody would be willing to give me that second for Montgomery. Now, the other person probably got a decent deal here, but I also got some extrinsic benefit. A, I'm able to stack. B, I'm able to liquidate a running back. And C, I'm able to free up a roster spot. And those are the kind of portfolio moves you have to look at. You can't always look at the straight value of these deals, because if you go in and you put this deal in a trade calculator, and I'm going to actually run it while we're sitting right here. So we'll do David Montgomery in the trade along with Zay Flowers for the 26 second and Nico Collins. And when you put that in the trade calculator, it actually comes out that the 2026 second doesn't add as much to the value. So the other side is winning the deal. The 26 second is the least valuable pick or least valuable piece in the deal. So it would look like the side on the left that I gave away is winning the trade if you actually look up the trade calculation. However, it doesn't account for the fact that I'm freeing up a roster spot, and it doesn't account for the fact that my roster construction is a little too overweight at running backs that I could actually liquidate. So there you go. I killed two birds with one stone. And on top of that, I'm able to pivot from a receiver that I'm way overexposed on to one that I don't have a lot of exposure. So getting those little extrinsic victories inside the deal is how you get action rolling in leagues and how you make true portfolio trades. You're not just going to go to your portfolio and go, oh, wow, I have way too much Zay Flowers. So let me go sell him for the sticker market keep trade cut price every single time. If you think about it, there's likely a reason you have a lot of Zay Flowers, because a lot of the leagues you have him in, you may value him a little bit higher than the other managers. So keep that in mind. This is another example of a deal where I leave it with some extrinsic value wins that other people may not see. Next deal. This is a deal where I was looking to get rid of my pick 212. I've talked about my picks a lot, where I have way too much exposure to picks in certain ranges. This was one where I had 7 shares of the 212. It's fine. I could take 7 shots, but what I'd rather do is move the 212 creatively to get a future second. Now, this was a league where I have a ton of picks in 25 and 26. So I'm kind of pushing towards those years, like basically going as slim as I can in 2024. If I make some noise, sure, but I have a ton of future picks, really trying to set up for the future. So 212, I'm trying to shop that. I spam it for a 25 second. I already have, I believe, 5 of the 12. So I'm probably not going to have a lot of luck moving for a 25 second because I've already kind of cornered the market on that. So 26 second, can I get a little bit more? Because I'm the one having to go out 2 years. Now, for me, from the way I'm building this team, I don't care. But for all intents and purposes, I would think it's more valuable for me to get the deal done, even if I have to take a little bit of a bath on the years. So I moved the 212. As you can see, I get back the 26 seconds. So goal number one accomplished. I moved the 212 for a future second. But I also was able to get a 25 third. So I add in a 25 third for Tyler Allgeier, which I'm okay with that. And then I get Taylor Heinicke as a throw-in. And again, how I'm building my team is I'm trying to kind of slim the margins down, take a shot at maybe trying to win this year, but the expectation is that I'm probably going to be middle of the pack, and if things go wrong, I have some pieces that I can sell off. But I've really focused on roster construction here, having as many shots at quarterback as I can. That's going to be, in this league, what I'm going to be able to sell during the season if I need to. But also, again, I'm not punting the team. I'm not punting my season. So I do want to have another shot at a backup QB like Heinicke. So I was glad to take him on in this deal. But as you can see, I kind of had to hide in the fact that I'm willing to accept a 26 second, but I got some extra value back. Allgeier, I never would have been able to sell for a third, and Taylor Heinicke. So the fact I can get that done, also accomplishing what I wanted, mission done with this deal, moving that 212. Then the last one, this is a team where I have CJ Stroud, and I was trying to get Nico Collins and Stephon Diggs from the same manager. And this was one where I had made a couple offers. I had tried to do deals where I was sending two receivers for two receivers. One of them was Deontay Johnson, who I ended up moving. But the two most exposed receivers I have were Deontay Johnson and DeAndre Hopkins. And I have them both on this team, a roster where I have CJ Stroud. So I'm sitting there going, okay, can I move Hopkins and Johnson in a deal where I get back Collins and Diggs? And what else do I have to add? Can I move a piece and get back another piece? Can I hide essentially the two for two and get the receiver upgrades and get the double stack because I have Stroud and throw back some value to make it seem like the other person's getting a good deal? This is what we ended up settling on. So they took out Hopkins in the deal. Now this is like a 1.6 PPR. There's a little bit of a bonus for tight ends, but effectively call it 1.6. So I moved Deontay Johnson, Kyle Pitts, Javonte Williams, and two thirds. Another couple things I wanted to do. I have too many picks here. This is 29-man rosters. I had five third rounders. Not going to be able to make them all. So I was able to move two thirds this year. Then I have like the 306, 309, like a bunch of them in a cluster. So I was able to move two of those along with Javonte Williams, Kyle Pitts, and Deontay Johnson. And what I got back was the receivers that I wanted. So I look at Diggs and Collins probably for, let's say, Pitts and Deontay Johnson being pretty square. Maybe you might prefer the Pitts-Deontay side by a little bit. You can say the third cancels out with one of the thirds that I traded away. I got back a 25 third and traded away the 308. So then what I was able to do was acquire this team's 26 first, and it's a pretty decent roster, but it's also a team that has traded away all of their picks in 25. So now I'm borrowing into their 26 credit and getting a first back. So effectively, I was able to liquidate Javonte Williams and a third for a 26 first if I was able to mask the fact that I'm taking a two for two with the other pieces. So I had to give up a little extra in the form of Pitts and Deontay instead of Hopkins and Deontay. But I'm able to get back the first, which is the most important, and then some extrinsic benefits here that I moved off of the thirds, and I'm going to be under the roster limit now because I have a bunch of other picks that I'm going to have to make and really only like three roster spots. And my roster construction is pretty on point in terms of how I want it to be. I have my core receivers. I have my quarterbacks with the backups, and then I have a couple high picks. I believe I have the 102 and the 104 here, along with a bunch of those other thirds that I still have. So I'm set up nicely in the future. I've been able to move some picks to the future, have a couple extra seconds, a couple extra thirds next year, and a team that's ready to go. But knowing that I'm going to be starting Stroud, I was able to pivot and move off Deontay Johnson, given that he was one of my high X exposed receivers. So that's another example of how you have to hide this. I was sending Deontay Johnson straight up for picks. Nobody was biting. Nobody was going, oh, okay, I'll give you a 26 first. I'll give you this pick. And really, here's the thing. This type of league where I was already constructed how I want a receiver, I'm not motivated to move Deontay Johnson for the 202. I'm not motivated to move one player for one pick. You know, that it was somebody like that that I know is probably more valuable than what his production is. I'm not motivated to move that player for a 202 so I can draft another rookie receiver. Really, the only benefit would be if that pick allows me in this league to move up and get something more significant. And the market just isn't there for that type of deal. So I settled on this. I think these are all examples of ways where you go through, look at your portfolio. I'm still overexposed on Zay Flowers, Deontay Johnson, DeAndre Hopkins, and then a bunch of other receivers that I'm right around like 20% on. But to move receivers, especially when they're not elite ones, when they're in this range, the other names, Calvin Ridley, Christian Kirk, even Brandon Ayuk, DJ Moore, Jaden Reed, like those guys, Jordan Addison is another one. Like you don't just go move those guys generally for a deal for exactly what you want, especially if you care about roster construction. You're probably sitting there going, those guys fit a specific role. Re-rolling Jordan Addison for the 112 really doesn't make a lot of sense. So how do I move that player for another receiver maybe, or go cross-positional and get back a draft pick upgrade like a couple of these deals that I got done? So with that, see what there's maybe deals you can find that you think could be beneficial to some portfolio strategy. Again, check out everything over at Destination Devi at destinationdevi.com. Destination Dynasty every Monday morning. That's a show that I do that goes a little more in depth in terms of roster construction. Not so much portfolio strategy, but more so how I'm building teams. And then I kind of use this as an outlet to talk about what I'm doing with the portfolio. So with that, I will go ahead and sign off. Beach Show.